Dick made you laugh so much, maybe I would make you cry to strike a balance. I was born in a non-Christian home in Vietnam, and growing up in a culture that seemed to value personal achievement, I never was concerned with questions like where I came from or why I was here in the world. I knew what I wanted to do with my life when I was about 9 years old. I saw my mother carried about 40 liters or 80 pounds of water on her shoulder. And I felt her physical suffering. And I was moved so deeply that I said to myself that I would change the world one day. And in my early teenage, I learned about Einstein and the impact of his work on the world. And so I dreamed of one day that I would go to the U.S. to study and would become someone who could impact the world. At the same time, I read a lot of books, literature, both from the Eastern and the Western world, and I began to be very critical of the human flaws. And I began to be very judgmental of people around me, and I said to myself that I wanted to be a person who is good, not just good, but perfectly good. So the things changed when 1975, North Vietnam took over South Vietnam. And so the dream of going to the U.S. for education was out of the picture. And at the same time, we lost all of our freedom. So as a student, I was forced to do a lot of things. I was forced to participate in political activities, such as going to rallies and participating in military training and denouncing our way of life and conforming ourselves to new ideas which I never believed in. So life was hard, and so my sister, my big sister, managed to arrange for us to escape. And we so went to this boat. We entered into this boat together with 200 other people. The boat was small, and we sat together. There was no room to move a hand or a foot. But anyway, we survived our journey at sea. Despite our encountering with terrorizing Thai pirates, with storms, winds, and with a broken steering wheel, anyway, the UN found us, the UN ship found us, they saved us. And later, when the US, when the United States accepted us, my sister, me, and my brother as their refugees, I thought that I would be able to go to school here again. My first years in the US actually saw my dream shattered like crystal vase drop on the floor. Because I heard about this country as a land of opportunities where you could do whatever you want. But I think the reality slapped me on the face. I had no money. I did not speak the language. I did not have any skills. And so how could I go to school? Education here is very, very expensive. So that is one thing. And then another thing is that we were living in a difficult situation, my brother, my brothers and my sister and I. And the difficult living situation somehow exposed us cruelly to our selfishness. Our selfish nature was revealed to each other. And in a way, it drove us apart. It drove us really, really apart. And at that time, I felt like I was accused, I was made guilty, and I was rejected by my siblings. And that hurt. That hurts really bad. So you can see that at the same time, I lost the things that were the most meaningful to me. Becoming someone so that I could achieve, I could change the world, and on the other hand, become someone really, really good. And I lost both of them. I lost both of them. I don't know if you could imagine how profound that loss was to me. But I could not figure out how I was born in my family poor. I could not figure out why I was born with natural abilities, but I was not given the opportunities to use those abilities. And I could not understand why I was thinking the way I did. Why was I not satisfied with my life? Why was my sister and brother thinking or thought of me would be so important? And why would I feel so worthless because of what they thought of me? So the pain and the despair were just so great for me, and I just did not want to live anymore. I just wanted to end. And as a young person, I thought about suicide. That would be an easy way out for me. But to be sure that I would not get into a worse problem after death, so I began to search for truth concerning life and death. And because I was familiar with Confucianism and Buddhism, and none of those could save me, so I started to read the Bible. I started to read the Bible as a non-believer from cover to cover. That is to say that maybe I have skipped some of the boring passages. But anyway, it was cover to cover. And without my awareness, the Bible somehow directed me to ask questions about my origin and about my soul. And as I looked and I meditated about things, I looked at nature, I looked at this day and night. So I looked at nature, I looked at the sun, the moon, the stars, I looked at the complexity of my soul. And I could not believe that those things came into existence by chance. And as I read the book of the Bible, such as the book of Numbers, I got to wonder about God of the Old Testament, about the God of the Old Testament. In the book of Numbers, you encounter the rebellious Israelites. They rebelled over and over and over again, and the book has a way to tell you that they just rebelled, and then it was solved, and then the next verse, they rebelled again, and the next chapter, they rebelled again, so you could count that the number of their rebellions actually was like numerous. And I thought to myself, if God existed, then he would not be like me, a human being. Because if I had been God, I thought to myself, if I had been God, I would have killed all these Israelites already. So I was thinking about the Old Testament, and I also was thinking about Jesus and his atoning death. And it made perfect sense to me, because I thought that justice demanded punishment for sin. So I was thinking about all these things for about a year. And within that year, actually, I continued to struggle with my sense of worthlessness and despair. And I found myself most nights crying myself to sleep. I would wet my pillow until it was really, really, really wet. Like the psalmist would say, that I drenched my bed with tears. That was what happened, that was what happened to me in those days. And so after like a year, I came to a point when I think the darkness for me was just too much. I just could not take it anymore. So at work, when everybody went out to lunch, I cried and I wished that I had not been born at all. And I thought that nothing could be worse. And so I brought myself to pray to Jesus. It was a very, very short prayer. I said, Jesus, if you exist, and if you love me, as they say, then come to love me because I need it, and I will be yours forever. And before I finished my prayer, actually, he touched me, and he took me, and he put me into a sphere, which I could feel with not only my mind and my emotion, but also with my body. I called that sphere the sphere of God's eternal existence and infinite love. How can I describe for you the love I felt at that time? It was so vast. It was so deep. It reaches above the heavens. You cannot describe it. And if I try to show you, I would have to say, I would have to make a comparison. But if I say that the love of the world, the love of my brothers and sisters and all the world combined, would be like a drop in the ocean of God's love, I would do it no justice, because the love of the world is still much smaller than a drop, and the love of God is much bigger than the ocean. That was the love I felt. And somehow at that very moment, I came to understand many, many things with, I would say, perfect clarity. with perfect clarity. I could see the meaning of my life. I could see the transience of my suffering, and I could see that, and I could see that my life or meaning of life was not to achieve, but to please the one who had waited for me, who had loved me, and who had waited for me to call upon him. And I realized that the suffering that I had endured up until that point was for me to know precisely what it means to pass from death to life. Because without experiencing death, you would not know what life is like. And I experienced that. I was crossed from death to life. And I knew that I experienced this love. And I just realized immediately that the people like my family and other people did not know the love that I experienced at that time, and somehow God just poured into my heart to decide to love them, to love everyone who rejected me, all of them. And that was how I received it. So the encounter I had with God at that moment actually lasted only about a few minutes, but it left me changed forever. It left me changed forever. I have never been the same. And for me, since the day he entered into my life, I would have to say, I'm honest to say that I have not known anything else but Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, and without him, I have nothing. So I totally agree with the psalmist, Psalm 84, who says, 1,000 in your court is better than 10,000 elsewhere. And I could go further and say that a moment with God is better than the entire life without God. God is my everything, and I would not want anything but him. And so I hope that you would enjoy the song with me. This is my favorite song, The Holy Gift of Love.